All right. So the parsha begins. Vayitzi Yaakov Be'er Shava, Vayilech Charan. That Yitzi leaves from Be'er Shava and goes to Charan. Vayifka ba'makom, and he came to the place. So the Gemara in Maseches Brachos says the following: Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis. That Yaakov established the davening of the Maariv prayer. Shemar vayifka b'makom vayalan sham kivah Hashemesh in pigia ela tefila. And he came to the place and stayed there because the sun had set. In pigia ela tefila, the meeting, the idea of meeting is referred to as tefila, pigia tefila. Shemar viata al tispalel vial tifka bi. That you won't pray and you won't meet me. That they're considered synonymous in the pasuk in Yirmiyah. So this is considered the source that Yaakov established the davening of Maariv. We have other sources that Avram established the davening of Shachris and Yitzchak established the davening of Mincha. So what in the world does that mean? Does that mean that Yitzchak wouldn't go out at night and wouldn't go to Maariv Minyan? Does it mean that Yaakov came home one night and his wife said, where were you all night? And he said, oh, I was davening Maariv. And she said, what's that? Or, your father didn't daven Maariv, your grandfather didn't have to go out from Maariv, why do you think it's a good enough excuse that you could leave me to put all the kids to sleep? Right? Where does that, what does that mean? That he prepared, that he established the davening of Maariv. What does it mean for all of the avos that they established Maariv? And does that mean that Avram didn't daven at night? Does it mean that Yitzchak didn't daven at night? Don't we assume that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did all of the mitzvos as we've gone through in this year multiple times already? So what does it mean that A, it was established, and B, what does it mean that the earlier ones didn't go ahead and do it? So I found this in my notes. I'm not sure who said what or where I heard it from them. I think I put it all together, and I want to go through step by step. What does it really mean that Avram established Shacharis? What does it really mean Yitzchak did Mincha? And what does it really mean that Yaakov did the evening service? So, The Gemara, when it comes to Avram Avinu, so Avram's big chiddush was the idea of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps the challenge of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu, actually we explained before, in this week's Parsha, after the sin of the golden calf, after the Chete Egel, so Moshe turns to, and you're having this discussion about Teshuvah, etc., and Moshe turns to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, let me show me your face. And that's the famous line that he says to Hashem. So the Gemara in Brachu says, what does it mean? What was Moshe asking when he said, show me your face? Where it says, well, Moshe was really asking Rasha v'tov lo tzadik v'ra lo. Why is it that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Right? It's a good question. Right? Why is that relevant there? Right? That wasn't the cause of the sin of the golden calf. It doesn't seem to have any connection to what's going on in that parsha. Why is Moshe at that opportunity asking Tzadik Varala Rasha Vitovlo? Good things to bad people, bad things to good people. So perhaps the answer is Moshe wasn't specifically asking that question. He was asking, Hashem, show me your face. Show me, let me understand you. Let me recognize you. You don't seem to be always there for me. So that is partly the essence of Emunah. The essence of Emunah is that God gives us a faith. God gives us opportunities. God gives us demonstrations of His greatness. But sometimes we don't necessarily see that. We don't necessarily feel it. And yet we have to dive into Hashem anyways. And perhaps that's what, when Avram discovered monotheism, he discovered God, right? So he is recognizing the idea that everything is really coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. God is always present, even if I don't necessarily feel it. And what really was Avram doing? What really is the chiddush of Avram? Vayashkim Avram baboker, that Avram got up in the morning. So that's the pasuk of after Sodom. Vayashkim Avram baboker, and he went back to the place where he was the day before. And if you recall, we discussed in that's the source for Malkum Kavua, that Avram went back to the place. And we pointed out that even though the idea wasn't that Avram was successful and therefore it's his lucky spot that he always goes back to that spot, it's Avram wasn't successful the day before, and yet Avram still went back to that spot. And perhaps the idea of Avram declaring And establishing chakras really means the developing the idea of consistency. That every single day, sometimes I feel it, and sometimes I don't feel it. Sometimes I'm inspired, sometimes I don't inspire. And sometimes I feel the presence of God, and sometimes I don't as much feel the presence of God. But yet every day, morning after morning after morning, I'm still going to go and turn to Hashem and develop once again my relationship with Hashem. Perhaps that is the meaning of Avram Tikein Chakras. Not the He declared that davening every morning is going to be at 7 o'clock, or one time on Mondays and Thursdays, one time on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays. No, it just meant Avram established the idea of a consistent relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Avram Tikein Chakras.
He said that he woke up early to do the mitzvah with the Akeim. He woke up early, it says.
It does say he woke up early.
Very early
in the morning, he was rushing to do the mitzvah, so
that was how it connected to the morning prayer.
Okay.
The
source, 1 second.
It was also going to the place.
Okay, but the Pasuk of where we base the idea of him preparing chakras is not from there. It's actually from a different. And then the next pasuk is Vayashkeif al pnei Sdom v'Amora, and he looked back at Sdom and Amora, and he saw that Sdom had been destroyed. So that's the yes. No, there is later on that Avram woke up early in the morning with regards to the Akedah. That's true, but the specific pasuk about him establishing chakras is the pasuk of looking back, of going back the morning after Sdom was destroyed and looking and seeing that his tefillos were. I don't want to say unsuccessful, we discussed that at the time, but his plea had not been adhered to, and Sdom had actually been destroyed, and yet he davened anyways. And yet he continued to daven anyways. Right. That's what that possibly means. That's chapter 19, verse 27. Yutes Chaf Zayin. Ve'ashkim Avram Baboker, El Makom Asher Amad Sham El Spinei Hashem. Okay, so then we get up to Yitzchak, that Yitzchak established the prayer of Mincha. So what is that? Where does that come from?
He was in the fields.
Right, so we have the idea that he was out in the fields, that he was out davening the fields, and he was davening Mincha. That's the basis of Yitzchak establishing Mincha. We also have another example of Yitzchak davening. Everybody remember? We talked about this. Yitzchak davening for his wife. He davened for his wife. And anybody remember why is it that based on that pasuk we learned a very important thing that it says that Yitzchak that they davened and Yitzchak's tefillos were listened to. So what did we learn from there? We gave a shiur about this. What? Yes, tzaddik ben tzaddik. That the tefillos of a tzaddik ben tzaddik are better than the tefillos of a tzaddik ben rasha, and therefore Yitzchak wasn't listened to, and Rivka wasn't accepted, listened to. So we gave a shiur about that. Well, which one is better? Because there are sources that indicate the other way, that maybe it's better for a person who's kind of self-grown, so to speak, might be better off. So I don't think we quoted this at the time. But Rav Dessler has a very impressive piece that he quotes from Rav Simcha Sissel. Where quotes that idea, Eino domet tefila tzadik ben tzadik tefila tzadik ben rasha lefichach lo v'lo la. Therefore, he's listened to, and he's and she's not. So Simcha Sissel asks, wait a second, it should be the opposite. Madriga tzadik ben rasha should be more because they grew a little bit more, and there is perhaps sources for that as well. This is in the Michtav Meleyahu Chelek Gimel, page 124. So Rav Simcha Sissel explained that there is a Gemara Kasha Atika Mechadasa. What is that? That's a Gemara in Maseches Yuma that old is learning the old is more difficult than learning the new. What is that referring to? And it says why? What is it like? And the Gemara says it's easier to make new cement than it is to ground up old cement and make new cement out of the old cement. That's what the Gemara's mashal is. So perhaps the explanation of that is that when somebody is learning fresh and they open up a Gemara for the first time, so okay, I'm learning fresh, I'm learning for the first time, and I know I don't know what's on the page, and my mind is completely open to whatever's on the page. But sometimes a person learns, and they learned it before, but they kind of remember it and don't remember it, or they're being forced to review, and they don't want to admit that they didn't learn it so well the first time. And it's difficult. Chazar is difficult. Going back and looking on at what a person sort of learned before, but doesn't know it as well now, that is a difficult learning to do. It's easier to just learn something completely fresh. That's what that Gemara seems to be saying. So the same thing when it comes to Yitzchak, that that a person is to have a chiddush like Avram. Avram is the first one to discover a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So everything is fresh and everything is new. Yitzchak is kind of coming second. Yitzchak is coming after all those discoveries were made. And yet Yitzchak was able to develop and be able to continue and persevere what was done by his father. So Eino Dome, when he says Eino Dome Tfila Tzadik Ben Tzadik to a Tzadik Ben Rasha, doesn't just mean plainly, oh, a Tzadik Ben Tzadik is always better off. No, a Tzadik Ben Tzadik is accepted when he is Mechadish, when he's doing it on his own, when he's advancing that which was done by his predecessor. So Tzadik Ben Rasha, so that person, all right, everything is new and everything is good and everything is in advance and not what happened in the past. But what's impressive about the Tzadik Ben Tzadik is not just simply that they're following what their parent did, but that they are being mechadesh on what their parent did, that they're adding on to what the parent did. And that's what was so impressive about the idea of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak took what his father did and continued and developed it and brought it on to the next generation. And therefore, what is the source of Yitzchak davening mincha? So the source for Yitzchak davening mincha was what? You said it before? Davening in the fields. Why davening in the fields? What's so great about that? Because Avram didn't necessarily daven in the fields. Avram davened consistently. Avram davened in the same place every day. Yitzchak, however, looked to advance that and looked for greater inspiration. While sometimes we have an idea of having a makum kavua, of having a consistent thing that we do, but sometimes we have to look for ways to advance that and seek greater amounts of inspiration, and that's what we're learning out from Yitzchak. That Yitzchak is in the middle of everything, in the middle of... it's one thing in the morning to wake up, and every morning I wake up and I go to shul and I daven and then I go on and do the rest of my day. Mincha is not always about that. Mincha is often in the middle of my day. I'm going to take some time out wherever I am, and I'm going to take some time out for tefillah, and I'm going to daven at that time. That's an advancement on the value of Avram. And that's the ideal of mincha, that there's the regular consistent davening, Avram, Shacharis, and then there is the I'm going to try to add, I'm going to be mechadish, I'm going to add new things, I'm going to observe new circumstances, look for further inspiration. That's the idea of mincha, and that's the idea that Yitzchak adds in. He quotes here an example that there was a, that also from Rav Simcha Zissel, that there was a non-Jew who recognized the truth and now converted to Judaism. So while the person is going through the process of conversion, so everything, they're careful about all the mitzvos and they're extremely careful, etc. There's a line out there, the Gemara comments that geirim are difficult. I forget the exact terminology. They're difficult like things on the skin, like they're. So we generally understand that as a polemic against having gay women, because they're not so great. Some point out, no, it's the opposite. They're annoying because they make all of us look bad, right? As they're in the process of converting, they're so inspired, they're so careful about the mitzvahs, and the people that have been doing it for a while aren't as, and then once they're in already, once they've been done doing mitzvahs for a couple of years, so they start becoming like other people. So why does that happen? So simply this explains, because they've turned from being a tzaddik ben rasha, when everything is new and everything is exciting, to being a tzaddik ben tzaddik. And it's more difficult to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik than a tzaddik ben rasha, because a tzaddik ben rasha is everything is a chiddush, everything is new and exciting. A tzaddik ben tzaddik is trying to continually inspire oneself, despite the fact that it doesn't necessarily seem so new and exciting all the time. So that's the idea of Avram. That's the idea of Yitzchak. Yes.
That a tzaddik can't stand in the shoes of
a Baal Shuvah. A tzaddik can't stand. Yeah, so that tzaddik sometimes doesn't compare to the Baal Tshuva, because the Baal Tshuva has, they've come back, and Okay, I hear it. That's a different. That's kind of the opposite idea. So how do you put those two together? Okay, so let's share that. Say that for share another time. What?
Well,
no, not necessarily, but in terms of our concept now of being different from the past, that's what I mean. Avram, is he in the mold of Avram or is he in the mold of Yitzhak? Not necessarily the son of Russia. Right. You know, we don't even necessarily have it in the, well, I guess we do have a drasha about that Besuel was a Russia. But, you know, Rivka, you know, it's not like Lavan was a Russia. All right. Anyways, so that's, we got Avram, Yitzhak, we got Mincha, and we got Shachas and Mincha. So what's Yaakov?
So does Abraham do
Mincha? No, so what I think what this approach is showing is that it's not literal that Avram never heard of Mincha. Yeah, Avram Davin Shachas Mincha Maravosa. But the Mida that's added in is coming from Yitzhak. Okay, and then we have
they were just talking to Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it wasn't formal.
No, that the our formal tefillos were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, so we assume that they had a rendezvous with the Creator. Yeah.
They were encouraged.
Sure. Sure. Yes, I was listening to a shiur recently. I forgot who made the combo, whose shiur it was, but he said that he was giving a shiur about tefillah, and maybe it was Rav Moshe Weinberg talking about, maybe not though. And he said, so a boy that was listening to this year commented that his grandmother, that he remembers his grandmother watching his grandmother daven. And she'd be davening. Every once in a while, she'd go like this. And then continue davening, and then continue on and on. And he once asked his grandmother, what in the world are you doing? So she said, listen, I really have no idea what any of these words mean. I have no idea. But I know when I get to the word yud-hei, vav-hei, that's really important. And there's something very impressive about that word. So I give it a touch and a kiss. It's pretty cool. Right? Okay, so what's the story with Yaakov? So, perhaps the idea is that Marv is not just about the time of day, but it's also a way of relating to Hashem. Remember what Rashi said in the beginning? Rashi has the comment that he gets to this place because the sun had set. That the sun was not setting. It was actually the middle of the day, and God made it so that the sun would set. That he created a situation of darkness, even though it might have been in the middle of the day. It wasn't necessarily even the Zman of Marv. So what is he... But yet we're learning from that situation the idea of Yaakov davening at night, and perhaps it doesn't mean the night literally, that he established the idea of we're going to literally daven at night. But he established this is a further idea of relating to Hashem through tefillah, that Avram relates to Hashem through tefillah in the way of consistency, Yitzchak relates to Hashem in the way of advancing on Avram, and Yaakov has the idea that we relate to Hashem in times of darkness, that even when things are very difficult and things don't seem like they're working out for us, we're still going to, that's at times of distress, we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we think about what Yitzchak's life is at this point. Yitzchak had just gotten the brachos from Esav, from Yitzchak. He seems like he had just won the fight with Esav, that everything seemed, all right, now I'm great. I won that argument. I got the brachos from my father, but yet Esav is sleeping in a nice cozy bed, and he just got married and is hanging out with his 20 wives, and I'm in the middle of a mountaintop someplace without a bed to sleep on, and without any wealth, without anything, and I'm stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. So that's also a time when one has to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps that's the source of that's what it means by davening Marv at this point. That he, how could this be? And therefore, it says Vayirav. When he woke up, he said, when he woke up after having his relationship with Hashem, he wakes up and says, oh, I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu is here also. That even though it seems like I'm alone, and it's a time of darkness, and nothing is going my way, at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me also. And perhaps that's what it means to daven and Marv, that at night, at our lowest points, when things are not working out, or not going well for us, so we call out to Hashem at that point as well. We have in this parsha, in the next parak, we did parak chav ches, so this is in parak chav tes, No, sorry, Perek Lamed. So the two Perakim. So, you know, Avram, spoiler alert, Yaakov ends up with Lavan, Yaakov marries Rachel, he marries Leah, he starts having children with Leah, and he doesn't have any children with Rachel. And Rachel complains to Yaakov and says to him, Vatir Rachel kilo yadal Yaakov, right? So she didn't have kids. She says to Yaakov, Vatikanei Rachel bachosa, Vatomer el Yaakov. She didn't have any children for Yaakov, and she was jealous of her sister. So she says to Yaakov, Havali vanim bim ayin mesan. He says, bring me children, and if not, so I'm a dead woman. I'm nothing. So Yaakov's response, what's Yaakov's response to her?
He got angry.
The response is, Vayichar Af, this is the very beginning of Perek Lamed, if you want to look inside, the Perek beginning of 30, 31, 30, 30 Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis. So Vayichar Af Yaakov, Berachel, Vayomer Hatachas Elokim Anochi, Ashermanim Yemeni Pribet. He says, well, you think I'm some god that could declare who's going to get pregnant at what point, that's able to just distribute these children? I mean, why are you yelling at me? So there is some criticism of both of them. This criticism of Rachel, right, is criticism of Yaakov. But the Ramban comments there that why did it work? That Ramban is critical of Yaakov for that response. But yet what happens? Rachel davens and Rachel has children. So even though Yaakov might not have responded to her appropriately, it ends up working on her behalf. And what's going on? The Ramban says that Yaakov turns to her and says, what, you think I'm going to do this for you? You think I'm going to do this for you? No, you have to daven, and you have to take care of it yourself. And Rachel, at that point, realizes that she's alone. That she's alone, that nobody's going to help her out. Yaakov says, look, don't look at me, I have children. Right? It's you.
Yeah, but that was not a proper response.
Okay, it might not have been a proper response, but the effect...
But Yitzchak daven for...
Exactly, but the effect was, is that... Yeah, I know, Yitzchak daven for... But it wasn't... He's called to task for that response.
Right.
But yet her tefillos then end up being successful because she davened. Because she davened realizing that nobody else is going to help us out. And who put her in that situation? Yaakov. Yaakov is the one who said, when I was all alone, I davened and things worked out. Well, guess what? Now you're going to be alone. When you're alone, you need to daven. And what was Yaakov in effect either telling her, maybe not telling her, but leading her to do, or causing her to do? He was causing her to daven marv. Right? Not the tefillah of constantly being in the presence of God, but rather the tefillah of, I feel all alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now is the time that I need you to come and help me out. And that was not necessarily Marv, that's the example of Marv, that is the attitude that we have with regards to Marv. That's Avram for...
This is like the opposite of what. Okay, all right. So
that's a Yaakov issue. But with regards to the Rachel issue of why now, what she wasn't davening before that,
right.
The answer is no. Now she davened in a state of alone. We have the Rav Moshe Weinberger tells the story of the Imri Emes. That a woman comes to the Imrei Emes and tells the Imrei Emes that, you know, you have to do something about my son. My son is about to be inducted into the Polish army. And so the Imrei Emes says, okay, you know, I hope everything, I'll try to daven and everything should be okay. Right? And the woman's like, like, do you hear me? Like, that wasn't a very positive response.
Well,
and that
the response
was, okay, well, let's daven and everything's okay. You know, right? Which wasn't a very heartwarming response. To which, you know, the Hasidic world meant to her that, oh man, the gates are sealed for my son, and he's going to be drafted. Otherwise, the Rebbe would have told me that everything's going to be okay. He didn't tell me everything was going to be okay. So that means that that things are not going to be okay. Now I'm in a lot of trouble. So she started davening and she started crying and started being really upset. And her mother, this woman's mother, saw what's going on and found out what the story is. And she went to the Ger Rebbe herself and said to her, you know, what's going on? You know, my grandson's about to be inducted into the army. The mother is driving crazy. So the Imri Emes turns to her and says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. You don't have to worry about it. So she says, okay, great, I'm happy to hear that, but now she had a taina, now she had a complaint. Why'd you, if you knew everything was going to be okay, why'd you drive my daughter crazy? She said, no, not everything was going to be okay. Now everything is going to be okay. Because your daughter realized that there's no other choice other than her davening. right, that she has to take it upon herself. She realizes, I'm not going to be able to help her out. She davened like Rachel Imenu. She davened like being in the situation of, there's nothing else that can help me other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and now everything's going to be okay. That's why everything's going to be okay. Because she davened Ma'arif. She davened the idea of having a relationship with a Kodesh, you know, being in the depths and being in that difficult situation and feeling all else is lost. That's the addition that Yaakov Avinu made, and that these three attitudes, these three ideas of tefillah, I think should be representative of the different styles of tefillah. Not necessarily the tefillahs of the three different times of the day, but the three styles of tefillahs that we sometimes have to invoke in order to address Kadosh Baruch Hu. With that, we'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos. Next week, Perek Chaf Tes. Yaakov on the road.
On the road.